Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and Happy New Year. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 1st New Year's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. As we look back on the pandemic year of 2020, it certainly was filled with heartbreak for many people all over the world. The sports world saw the passing of some big stars, including football legend Diego Maradona, who died of a heart attack November 25th at his home in Argentina. He was 60 years old. In the aftermath of Maradona's death, there were tributes in South America, North America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and all around the world. One top football official who remembered Maradona was FIFA President Gianni Infantino at the last FIFA Council meeting of the year. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, VOA's Gwen Ooten tells us more. Happy New Year and sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. FIFA President Gianni Infantino began his remarks with a tribute and called Maradona a giant in the history of the sport.
Sadly, he's not anymore with us. It is also difficult for me to say and to speak about Diego still, because I think, like many of you, we all love, I love Diego, and this will be forever. And I want to keep him, like everyone that loves football, in memories for how he made us all fall in love with the game. He was really unique. And he is definitely eternal.
Infantino then outlined new rules approved by the council that guarantees women footballers 14 weeks of maternity leave, adequate medical support, and full reintegration back into her club. Infantino called the landmark reforms long overdue.
We've always to remember that the players are the protagonists of the game. They are the most important part of the game. We have to make sure that we set the stage for them to shine, and we want them, of course, to be healthy, to be safe, and to be happy. And when it comes to female players, this means that we should bring also more stability to their careers, so that for example, if they need to take maternity leave, then they do not have to worry about their careers when they are ready to play again. We have introduced rules, minimum standards at worldwide level that guarantee this. And if we are serious about boosting the women's game, and we are serious about that, then we need to look at all these aspects.
The FIFA president also voiced his support for the launch of an intersport agency that, along with the backing of governments, will fully investigate incidents of sexual abuse.
Now, we are sports federations. We have some limits in terms of what we can investigate, how we can investigate. But if we set up, together with governments, together with intergovernmental associations, together with sports federations, a bit similar to what has been done for doping matter, a new agency who can investigate abuse, who can take measures dedicated exclusively to that. This is something that I feel we should not put under the carpet, we should not hide.
Infantino says as the governing body moves forward, protecting the health of all players and global football overall remains a top priority during the coronavirus pandemic. But he admits with the current schedule, it's difficult to strike the right balance.
Protecting the players, protecting the clubs, protecting the national teams. Trying to find and to strike the right balance is not easy. And that's why we had to come with some rules and with a detailed protocol, a protocol that tries, obviously, and has done to a great extent, protect the health of the players, which is the most important.
FIFA has confirmed the 2021 Club World Cup that was scheduled to take place next summer in China will now be held in Japan. But in response to the pandemic, plans to expand the tournament have been postponed until the following year. One thing that will remain in place is the video assistant referee. Infantino defended the often criticized VAR system and called it a positive addition to the sport.
I think that VAR is helping football. It's certainly not damaging football. I think also that we have to remember that VAR was introduced for the first time 2 years ago, not 200 years ago, you know, 20 years ago. And we don't have to make a confusion between VAR and maybe sometime wrong decisions which are taken because of the wrong way in which VAR is used, maybe in some places, because the lack of experience of those who are using VAR. Let's not forget that this is really a landmark change for a referee who was used and has made all these referees who are using VAR, they didn't grow up with VAR. Let's not forget that. It's not that easy.
At the end of the video conference, reporters were told to mark their calendars for March 19th, 2021, when the FIFA Council is scheduled to reconvene. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen, and Happy New Year. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. 2020 has been a challenging year for all of us, not only in Uganda and across Africa, but around the world as we've had to come to terms with the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
A message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. South Africa-based analyst Emeka Enyadike is confident African sports will bounce back after the pandemic year of 2020. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Emeka had this to say.
I think sports in Africa will recover a lot better in the year 2021 because for the most part in 2020 when the lockdowns were kind of relaxed, most of the African countries didn't have a good grasp in terms of how to go about it. But just by studying how the rest of the world put their own frameworks in place, there's been a lot of learning. Some of the leagues are back, CAF competitions, there was basketball and some athletics meets, there was the Cape Town Marathon. A few of these events patients are gradually coming back and protocols are being. The big challenge, though, you know, going into 2021 is just to be sure that we don't have a resurgence of the kind of scenario we had with the pandemic in 2020. As long as it doesn't come back in that same fashion, I think that we will get back to, you know, being able to compete and create events, particularly events that, you know, individual sports and, you know, even the team sports, we will see a bit more of countries and teams and leagues getting back to playing. They do, however, need to have more and more media because I think it will take a while to get fans back.
Do you think there will be big football matches again at the stadiums in Africa?
In terms of big football matches, there will be a return to big games. We've already seen a lot of big games. But I think we're going to see, it will take a while for us to get that kind of big capacity turnout of fans in the stadiums. This is the life and blood of African football when you have those massive derbies with a lot of fans. In some countries like Tanzania, it's almost as if there was never a lockdown, there was never a pandemic because all of their big games have been played before full house. But for the rest of the continent, especially countries like Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, Sudan, and of course South Africa, where you've got the big games between Orlando Pirates and Kaizer Chiefs, and also both teams playing against Sundowns. We haven't had the same kind of energy because most of those games have been played behind closed doors, and that's really sad for Africa because that's what makes African football tick. Even some of the international games, we've seen just about no fans. So it is hoped that somehow we will, maybe by the later part of the year, because a big challenge for Africa is that we don't know which African countries begin to get the vaccines early enough, because from all of the readings, the rest of the world, especially Europe and America and Asia, are all lined up to get the vaccines a lot longer than it can be made available in Africa. Maybe in South Africa, of course, where there's good work being done around the vaccines, we might see some of them. And then, of course, maybe perhaps China and Russia comes to the rescue. And then maybe we see a lot more fans come through, but generally African fans are eager to come back to the games.
Are nations getting ready to set their Olympic teams?
Yes, African countries are pretty much getting ready for the Olympics. Countries like Kenya, you know, even with lockdown, I'm sure a lot of the athletes were able to train because where they are, mostly they're in an area where they can have good social distancing, and places like Eldoret prepare adequately. We've seen some of the athletes competing in marathons around some of the big events that have managed to hold this year. And I think for the rest of the continent, they just haven't had enough competitions because, you know, it's one thing to train and prepare, but you need to test yourself. And that is something that will be a big setback for a lot of Africa. But the Olympics are still give and take about six, heading to 7 months before it's there. So as we start the year 2021, maybe we have opportunity for them to have more competitions before then. But it's going to be very, very weird and different kind of experience for them, because there might be a chance because the rest of the world also goes through the same kind of challenges. So who knows, maybe it might turn out to be a blessing for the African teams.
What about events such as marathons and athletics competitions? Are African athletes headed back to the tracks?
Yeah, in terms of marathons and to a large extent some of the athletics events, we didn't see too much of those big athletic meets, but marathons, yes, in Cape Town there was a marathon, there were a lot of trail running and some other. The one thing that really happened were people running using virtual tools, which kind of engaged athletes. And this wasn't just about Africa, it was also a global thing where everyone could run at their own pace, and using some of these virtual tools, being able to put all of that there. We saw it with the Cape Town Marathon, which was back, and quite recently we had lots of African athletes competing at the Valencia Marathon, and you'll see that there'll be a lot more of these events, and possibly there'll be the potential for them to have more physical events because no fans absolutely could be another continuation. But in terms of the athletes themselves, they definitely have to come out and run because or jump or compete, because that's the only way they can be ready for the Olympics.
That's African sports analyst Emeka Nyadike. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Hi, my name is Emeka Nyadike from the City of Gold, Johannesburg. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Emeka, and Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. I've been chatting with Dan Friedel about some of the sports highlights from 2020. Dan says last October, sports fans in Los Angeles celebrated major titles in the span of about 2 weeks. The Los Angeles Lakers won the National Basketball Association championship, and the Los Angeles Dodgers lifted Major League Baseball's World Series trophy. Dan, what was your reaction?
Lakers and Dodgers fans got to celebrate big championships twice in just a few weeks. And, you know, the Lakers, we're just talking about Kobe Bryant. The Lakers have won championships fairly recently, and there was a lot of excitement with LeBron going to the Lakers and promising to kind of help rebuild that franchise to its glory days. The Dodgers, on the other hand, I think like we mentioned back in October, are a team that is one of the most popular teams in Major League Baseball, but they haven't had that ultimate success for a very long time. One generation of fans for sure has grown up wearing the Dodger blue and not seen them win the World Series until this year. And I was at the game with a friend of mine who, in his mid-40s, was able to see the Dodgers win the World Series in the 1980s. And he'd been waiting 30 years to see them win again. And they finally did win that night of October 27th. An odd atmosphere, I have to say, a gigantic indoor baseball stadium that was only about one quarter full. Mostly Dodgers fans, for sure, playing against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa team doesn't have a ton of fans throughout the U.S., while the Dodgers certainly do. In Arlington, Texas, a brand new stadium. The World Series in a bubble, it was an interesting atmosphere, but the Dodgers fans will certainly take this as a World Series. And you know, I think a lot of them are looking forward to 2021 as a chance that the Dodgers might be able to repeat their championship.
Dan, the big international sports event for 2021 is the Tokyo Olympics. As we speak, we're less than 7 months away from the scheduled start of the games. The opening ceremony is July 23rd in the Japanese capital. Dan, still lots of question marks about whether the Tokyo Games will come off, whether athletes and officials will all be vaccinated, whether fans will be able to attend. Dan, do you think the Tokyo Olympics will take place in 2021?
Well, Sonny, it's a good question. And my guess is that they're going to try to make the Olympics happen. It would be unfair to make all of these athletes who've dedicated their careers to these Olympic sports. You know, they're typically not the super rich athletes that we get to know in these major sports like world football and the National Basketball Association. We spent some time talking with Alex Amankwa, the Ghanaian-born track and field athlete who trains in Northern Virginia, who was in the Olympics in the past, but you know, he certainly hasn't been getting rich running the 800 meters in small events throughout his career and trying to get his qualifying numbers back up to the Olympic standard. I think it would be tough for these athletes to postpone another year or maybe have the Olympics that were supposed to happen in 2020 just be canceled outright and say, hey, we're going to just regroup for 2024. I think they'll give it a shot. And you know, my sense is that the Asian countries have done really well managing the coronavirus outbreak relative to some of the Western countries. Certainly, here we are in the United States, and where we live, states and the entire country have been struggling in a more significant way. I mean, I suppose there's always the possibility that they might decide to run kind of a smaller version of the Olympics. With fewer days, not the full 2 weeks that we're used to, have the athletes come well in advance, live and train in Tokyo, reduce the number of fans that can come from other countries, But my sense is that they'll try to make it happen. And I think for all of the athletes who've been training, it'll be a great relief for them. And for the sports fans in our audience who love these events, love the more esoteric events that finally get a chance to shine in the Olympics, it'll be exciting for them and a chance to kind of fill that gap that they've been missing for the last few years, for sure, without having seen the Olympics in the spotlight since the last one.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. And Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. I'm talking with Dan Friedel at the start of a new year. Dan, coronavirus vaccines are being rolled out gradually all over the world. What's your sense about what the sports landscape will look like in 2021 in terms of the coronavirus and games and matches being played?
Well, Sonny, you're talking to a Cleveland Browns fan, a fan of American football, who was really one of the bright spots was seeing my hometown Cleveland Browns win a number of games in October, November, and December. Now, of course, I'm a little bit anxious as to whether they'll make the playoffs this year. They've got one game to go that they need to win. But you look at the National Football League, they've managed to play 16 games, every team. There have been some disruptions due to the virus. They didn't do a bubble or a reduced schedule like some of the sports leagues are doing in the U.S. and internationally. The NBA has just started up in the last week, and that's fun to see. We saw some trades. We saw some big contracts being signed by players like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think it'll be nice in 2021 to see things kind of get back to somewhat normal. Certainly, I don't think we're going to see sellout crowds anytime soon. I think we're going to probably see the stadiums that are outdoors allow some fans back in at a reduced capacity. I spent some time in the summer working at Major League Baseball stadiums in Baltimore and Washington. And, you know, you could hear everything that the players were saying down on the field. Foul balls would hit the empty seats and bounce around and make a lot of noise. You could hear a fan in Washington, D.C., standing on the roof of a building across the street from the stadium, yelling encouragement to players inside of the stadium. Hundreds and hundreds of feet away, his voice was carrying, and that's certainly nothing that you're used to hearing at a major league sporting event with tens of thousands of fans in attendance. So I think what I'm really looking forward to in 2021 is getting back to some semblance of normal. I mean, even the mundane, you know, the argument about who are the last five players that are going to get onto an all-star team or something like that. It's easy to think about how you take that for granted in the sports calendar. And then when it's gone, you really do miss it. So I'm looking forward to debating, you know, who the 15th player on the Eastern Conference roster should be for the NBA All-Star game. I think that'll be kind of fun.
Dan, you mentioned one of the Major League Baseball fans right here in Washington. It reminded me of the Washington Nationals winning the World Series title in 2019. One of the sidebar stories was one of the Nationals' team celebrations, nicknamed the Baby Shark, where players would kind of flap their arms together, mimicking a shark's bite. Well, Dan, I guess you can say the team celebrations were muted in 2020 because of the coronavirus. What are your thoughts?
Yes, Fanny, I agree. I mean, these are the sorts of things that you go through the season, and the personality of a team will develop as the year progresses. I mean, we just look at the Washington Nationals, who kind of were an underdog playoff team. I mean, they barely really made the playoffs in the Major League Baseball season of 2019. And they were basically in last place at the end of May after 2 months of the season. And they caught a spark and caught fire and started playing well. All of these teams have these personalities that evolve throughout the year. You have a team that starts off losing and gathers some steam and gets into the playoffs and manages to win the World Series like the Nats did. And I agree, some of that was missing. You had, you know, the disrupted NBA season. You had the disrupted NHL season. You had the disrupted international soccer seasons. Certainly, all of that fits in to the evolution of the story of a season. And, you know, some of it is the fans, right? Some of the fun that the players have in their games and in their seasons has to do with their interaction with the fans. I mean, you think about the international soccer teams and their cheering fan sections and their songs that they sing for the players. All of that was missing. Now, of course, these are professional athletes who are going to give a pretty strong effort. I mean, they're getting paid millions of dollars most of the time. But I think there hasn't been a single professional athlete who hasn't said that the fans make a difference. I think there'll be some clear appreciation. You know, sometimes you think about how the players, oh, you know, they're playing for themselves and they're not playing for the city that they play in. But I think there's going to be a mutual appreciation between the fans and the players when more fans are able to get back into the stadiums.
Dan Friedel speaking with us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports. Dan, wishing you a happy and sporty new year ahead.
Thanks, Sunny. It's great to get a chance to talk with you and look forward to an exciting and optimistic 2021 as well.
In New Year's Eve National Basketball Association action, five-time All-Star John Wall of the Houston Rockets has made a successful return to the court in his first NBA game in 2 years. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
John Wall was productive in his first game since 2018 as the Rockets downed the Kings 122-119. Wall provided 22 points and 9 assists while showing no signs of the ruptured Achilles that kept him out of the NBA for 2 years.
I miss him eating shots, trying to get some rust off. No matter how much I practice and play in preseason, it's a little different when you get into real games.
DeMarcus Cousins came off the bench and quickly drained a three-pointer for his first basket since June 13, 2019. James Harden delivered 33 points, 8 assists, and 6 rebounds in the first of a two-game set with Sacramento. Harrison Barnes led the Kings with 24 points, while De'Aaron Fox and Rashawn Holmes each had 22. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. Elsewhere around the NBA on New Year's Eve, the Phoenix Suns are shining brightly at the start of a new season. The Suns beat the host Utah Jazz by 11 points, as we hear now from the AP's Adam Spillane.
Devin Booker's 25-point-7 assist night led the way as the Phoenix Suns won their third straight game, beating the Utah Jazz 106-95. Booker shot 10 of 17 from the field as the Suns improved to 4-1 on the season. Booker says his team's defense was key in the win.
We executed, especially in the first half, defensively, you know, how we wanted to guard and make things tough and, you know, try to keep those guys out of our paint and making driving kick plays and getting up a lot of threes.
Phoenix connected on 17 of 33 three-pointers, with Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder knocking down 4 apiece. Donovan Mitchell's 23 points led Utah. I'm Adam Spillane.
Thanks, Adam. In more NBA news, Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Spurs made history Wednesday night when she became the first woman to lead an NBA team. Hammond took over for Spurs head coach Greg Popovich, who was ejected from the game in the second quarter after receiving 2 technical fouls. San Antonio lost to the visiting Los Angeles Lakers 121-107. Becky Hammond says she was hoping for a different result.
I did not walk into the arena thinking that I would be coaching, you know, tonight. But that's the way things go, and you roll with it. And I would have liked a different outcome. Overall, I would have loved to get a win tonight more than anything.
And that wraps
up the New Year's Day edition of the show, wishing all our Voice of America listeners a happy and healthy 2021. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side.